Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Robert. I'm delightful. How are you today?
Delightful as well, even more so now that you're with us here on the program. And we have talked a lot today, Corey, about the Jeffrey Simmons contract. Look, I don't think anybody that I have, at least that I've talked to, has a problem with this. I mean, he played great last year. I feel good about the shape that he keeps himself in, the motivation, all those things. My question for you is this. Let's say that he plays the next 3 years at a similar level that he played this past year. When you start to think of like the all-time great Tennessee Titans, how high up that list do you think he can get? Because I would say for most people, McNair, Derrick Henry, Eddie George, whatever order you want to put those three in, are probably the three guys. I think it's going to be difficult to get in like that type of territory. But how high do you think Simmons can get?
Well, you got to win. That's part of it too. And you know he's played well. I mean, go back to the playoff game against the Bengals. I mean, he was a one man wrecking crew in that game, and still somehow they lost. And you know the Monday nighter against the Rams. I mean, he's played well for a long time, but you know, like you said, last year was spectacular. If you remember Albert Haynesworth, he had moments and he played well, and then he got into those years where he was tagged, and it was two of the most dominant years I've ever seen from a defensive tackle. I mean, he was devastating. He was devastating. And so, you know, if he can, you know, put, like you said, like 3 years together like this year, you know, he will advance past that. That's for sure. And, you know, look, there are other great Titans. I mean, you didn't mention Kevin Byard, who's you know, had several all-pro seasons.
Yep.
I mean, he's been a great player, was a great player, you know, for this team. You know, Taylor Lewan had, but how many Pro Bowl seasons? He was very good. But you're right, he's got the ability to be special for sure. You know, if AJ Brown had stayed here, you know, he could be on that list.
Yep.
You know, Keith Bullock was a great player who didn't necessarily get the league recognition because he wasn't a sack guy, but yeah, I mean, shoot, if he puts together three more seasons where he's on top of 10 sacks a game, I think he's definitely in that Mount Rushmore conversation.
So, with Robert Saleh, Corey talking about, you know, maybe using him a little bit less, going, you know, he's like an 81% snap guy or whatever he is.
Yeah.
Maybe focusing on pass rush, you know. My immediate question is, are you getting to third and long if he's off the field, you know, even though there are some other good guys in this defense? But what do you think that does for Simmons this year if that plan as stated is executed that way?
Well, I think, you know, like I said before, Joe, you know, winning matters in this too, because if you're winning, you're also in more pass rush situations. He had 11 sacks last year playing on a team that was behind all the time. And so, you know, if the Titans are winning and forcing teams to throw, you know, that puts him in more obvious pass rush situations. And, you know, you like to think that he's got some better pass rushers around him. And if that's the case, you still have to think he's going to get double teamed all the time. You just do, because if I was coaching the Titans, that's where I would start against Titans. That's where I would start. But if they could play out front, I think he could have more obvious pass rush situations. And I think Salah's point is if he's fresher in those situations, that you'll get even more from him. So I think the hope is that he plays 60-65% of the snaps, but still winds up with as many or possibly more sacks. I think that's the idea behind it. Does it play out? We'll see. We'll see if it does. And I know Robert talked about Jeff being a good run defender. He's a really good run defender. That's why it's hard to take him off the field, because he's really good at both.
Well, we got to ask you about the quarterback. I mean, we talked about the how big of a discussion point the inaccuracy issues at OTAs were. Well, looks like he responded pretty well in the minicamp part of this.
Yeah.
So what did you make of that, and how big a deal in your mind to see him do that and respond when team periods were going on out there at the minicamp?
Well, like I said, it's okay to have high expectations of the first pick of the draft, okay? And so, did he miss some throws? Yeah. And so I asked the other day, what was the why? When he misses, what's the why? And you got the answer of, trying things he wouldn't try necessarily in a game, layering throws and having to do that, not being necessarily 100% on the same page, with receivers and what you want them to do or where you're trying to put them, with the throw. There's a lot that goes into it other than just missing. Does that mean he didn't just miss sometimes? No, it doesn't. But, again, we heard the same things about Caleb Williams and Drake May last year. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter, because all of it matters, but there's context to all of it. And, when he comes out and plays better in minicamp, I think that shows some of it. And again, I'll be more worried in training camp if like we see an extension of this, because I always bring up the Levis Ridley thing.
Yeah.
That showed up pretty early, that they were having trouble getting on the same page. And it continued into training camp. And that's when it became, let's see what happens here in the season. And it was a problem when the season started. So, we'll see what happens in training camp. I don't not care, and I'm not worried. I'm not, overly worried. I'll put it that way.
Okay, so headline, Corey Curtis says expect a combination of Drake May and Caleb Williams and Cam Ward's second season. Is that? Can we tweet that out?
And for the Titans to have a massive turnaround like the Bears and the Patriots and go to the playoffs.
Sounds fun.
Be electric, yeah.
Well, if he does take a huge step, we've just been talking about the defense, which I think could be pretty good.
Yeah.
Why can't the Titans be this year's massive turnaround team?
Sure. I mean, look, you never know how the schedule is going to pan, and it happens. It happens every year. We saw the Commanders do it, 2 years ago. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how the schedule plays out. We'll see how their offensive line plays out, see how it comes together.
So, Corey, I want to ask you about Roman Josi. He's got 2 years left on his contract. There was a report dating back to March from Pierre LeBrun that basically just said, when the Predators hire their new general manager, keep an eye on Josi. And I don't think that, LeBrun's just pulling that out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So he's got 2 years left. Everybody's interested to see where this team is going, what direction, McFarland decides to take this offseason. In an offseason, by the way, where free agency is not very good, and I think you could see a ton of trades. We saw one yesterday with Brady Tkachuk going down to Florida. Mm-hmm. So what's your viewpoint on, Josi, how open you think he might be to moving on if he gets the sense that maybe the Predators aren't necessarily committed to winning next year? The legacy in Nashville, all those things, how important is it that he finishes a career as a Pred? I mean, take that any way you want to take it with Roman Josi with 2 years left on his deal.
Well, but would you love to see him finish here with a statue out on the plaza with Pecorine yeah, he might get it anyway, even if he still gets traded. You know, he's, you know, I know Shea Weber was a great player, but, I mean, Roman's arguably the best Predator skater ever. I mean, with your duration, I mean, Paul Kariya was obviously a great player. Philip Forsberg scored a ton of goals. You know, Steven Stamkos, the Hall of Famer, but the duration's not there. Look, Roman is as class of a guy as you will ever meet. And I haven't talked to him about this, so I don't know. But I would think he would love to finish his career here. And I would think he would love to win a cup here. But I don't know how many years he's got left.
I mean, the physical thing he's been going through
is pretty significant. And so, I mean, I could see the scenario where the Preds think if he's still got value, they could move on. It would be easier to me if you felt like Tanner Molendijk was ready.
And
you knew that he could, you know, I would love to see the two of them on the ice in the same year, you know, where you could kind of have that transition. But, you know, we didn't get that. And so I guess they have a decision to make. And if it is a bad year in, you know, in free agency and everything, then, you know, maybe he's got more value. Maybe he's got more value for a team that thinks he's a piece that puts them over the top. And, you know, Preds have missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. So I guess, you know, whatever whatever McFarland wants to do, I get it.
So you're pro statue? Just want to get you on the record.
For Yost? Sure. Give him a statue.
There we go. Robbie is vehemently opposed to statues for people who aren't all-time greats, possibly brought you a cup, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, so you don't think Packer should have gotten one?
No, I don't.
No. Okay. I get it.
I'm cool with the jersey retirement. I think the statue is like for like legends of the game. That's just me.
I get it. But, you know, I think Yossi's the best skater they've ever had. What do you think?
No, I think, I think he is too. I think he's the best skater they've ever had. For sure.
Yeah. And in the how many years are we in now? We're almost 30 years.
We're approaching
years
30, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, pretty phenomenal player.
Yeah.
I understand. I mean, statues are, I don't want to say they're gross, but I mean,
we are really attacking the sculptors.
We
of
really are
today on this program.
They're not going
to
like us after this.
I mean, look, I mean, Pekka, it was so important to this team.
Sure.
I mean, just because like the team almost left, and while all the other players fled from it, he was like, nope, I'm good. I'm staying. This is my squad. And the city always embraced him for that.
If that statue ever gets vandalized, I think we have an idea who to look at.
It's Robbie. It's Robbie.
That would require me going downtown, and I'm not doing that. Corey, thank you, sir.
It's got a Packer jersey on it. I know the first person I'm talking to. Yeah,
exactly. Painted orange and white.
It's like the Rock in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Corey, thank you, sir. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Hope you had a great Father's Day, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. You guys enjoy. I hope you guys are both dads now, too. So, yeah,
it's true.
You go.
That is true.
Yeah.
Been one for a minute here.
Robbie had to prove he was capable.
That's true.
And he's done it.
I still don't know whether or not that's happened yet.
Well, by the way, Allison, I have to tell you this story that Robbie told at the beginning of the show, but she gave him this awesome book with like a lot of things that you fill in the answers, and it was like five people that daddy helps, and I was one of them. So
yeah.
Joe Rexroad.
Joe Rexroad.
Yeah. Please help
just
him,
so
daddy.
You know. I got a shirt that says "Best Dad Ever."
Ooh.
You guys are both second and third.
Okay, I'll
so
take it.
Nice.
You're both playing from behind.
That's
just,
all right.
Just so you know,
that's top three. I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good stuff. Thank you, sir.
Too, baby. See you, Corey.
All right.
Corey Curtis,
Bye. Our
guest every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Get back into Jeffrey Simmons, plus a friend of our show who is very high on Cam Ward. We'll get into that later as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at 102.5 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. Enjoyed our award-winning future one day YouTube chat. When do you think our YouTube chat will win an award? What award will they win?
If there's an award,
It needs to happen.
I think it should. It should win. Yeah.
Although we do have a Texas Tech fan that somehow entered the YouTube chat. Even when we're not talking about Texas Tech and or Brendan Sorsby, brings it up. So.
He's a little unhinged.
Could that be a bot?
We are in Nashville. We're not going to talk about Texas Tech that much when it's not involving a.
We're just talking about all our stuff, and then all of a sudden, old Texas Tech man, and Will Hammond, I trust! And just start saying all this stuff. Like, whoa, sure. Calm down, Texas Tech man.
Sure.
Good luck to you.
Good to see.
Yeah.
Well, I have not run across any Titans fans so far on either the YouTube chat or the text line today that have a problem with Jeffrey Simmons' contract extension, Joe. I didn't think there'd be many. I thought maybe there'd be some. But nobody so far.
Yeah.
Seems to have an issue.
Yeah. Like, he has a bad year, gets hurt this year, something like that, and people will want to go back in Monday morning quarterback it. But right now, everybody is first guessing thumbs up.
Yep. Look, it makes sense. First off, I think a lot of people's approach, and I understand it, is, well, they don't really have anybody else to give this money to right now, so why not? Just give it to him. Like, he's a great player, played great last year. And then I do think that's an interesting point the more you think about it. Like, you're going into a situation with a new coach where, who knows, maybe the snap count does come down, you know, significantly this year for Jeff Simmons, even though I still think I'm going to have to see that, to process that and believe it, because I think it sounds great on paper. I think the idea of taking him out of the game when it's first and 10 and then the running back's gashing you for 6 yards a carry, and it's like, well, we might need to put him back in there. I'm interested to see how that plays out in actuality here. But, you know, who knows? Maybe the snap count goes down this year, and instead of playing 81% of the snaps, he's at 65 or whatever it is. You know, I do think from a contractual standpoint, you can look at that at Jeffrey Simmons and say, well, what is this? Like, they're screwing me over here. Like, I want to be out there as much as possible. So to go ahead and get that out of the way and not have that be really any factor at all when it comes to, you know, him worried about contract negotiations on that front, and now you just go out there and be productive. Like, that's what you need from if you're the Titans, is go out there and get after the quarterback and be every bit the menace you were a year ago. And then I think you'll be cool with it.
Yeah,
the Titans.
Yeah, you've done it. You've gotten paid twice. It's hard to do.
Yep.
It's hard to get two deals like he got, and who knows? He could be a freak and be super productive well into his 30s, past his mid 30s, but realistically, that's about a perfect timeline. I think could be pretty comfortable for the Titans to think about him playing through 30 on this. And of course, you know, if you go into the 30 season and he's still playing at a high level, okay, well, maybe you do another 2 year. But it's not some of these deals, you know, it's like, man, it's gonna be rough in the back end. The NFL, good thing is, basically you get your guaranteed money out of the way, and then, you know, you can get rid of a deal and not have a ton of dead money, you know, later in the later part of the contract. But just seems like a smart move for them. I'll be interested to see. I don't know where everybody is in this league on contracts, but like next summer, is there somebody at the same position who gets a bigger deal than him who's clearly not as good as him? And then you could look at it and say, okay, so look, what would you have paid him next year if you didn't do it this year?
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting part of this too. And, I mean, I do think if you're a Titans fan – you know, it's not your money, first off. The owner is ponying up for this. But I do understand the thought of, all right, would you like to see him another year, stay healthy, see if he can be this productive again another year? I said it earlier in the show. I think there are some guys you run across where you try to gather as much information as humanly possible and extend the period between you negotiating and you signing it as much as you possibly can, because you want to be absolutely sure, right? I think there are some players where you just go ahead and get it done. Like with Derrick Henry, you just find a way to get that thing done. With Jeffrey Simmons, I think what we know about him and what he showed last year, you just find a way to get the deal done. Like, I think you run across some guys in your franchise every now and then where you just like – I mean, we talked about Yosi all day. I mean, when Yosi was up for his contract with the Predators, it was like the easiest decision ever. It's like, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and like you brought up earlier – part of the story here is definitely that Simmons has matured and just stopped dealing with frivolous things,
yep,
and just focused on the game. You know, I think losing was hard for him. He came in and it was win, win, win. And then, you know, you sort of just fade down the stretch of that 22 season. You just traded AJ Brown, and it's been losing since then. He didn't handle it well, and he hasn't handled some of the social media stuff well. He's just doing too much on there, and it seems like he's gotten rid of that. Andrew's safe over there, and just keep your mouth shut, Andrew. You'll be fine. And I think he's figured some things out in terms of being a face of a franchise, where a couple years ago he was still figuring it out.
615-737-1025.
Shut up, Andrew.
A friend of the show that is pretty high on Cam Ward. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe, friend of the show, Nick Bumgarner, your co-worker at The Athletic, pretty high on Cam Ward. He did a film study, and basically it's looking at Cam Ward's film last year, and the headline is, 2025 NFL Draft QB Film Study, can Cam Ward continue to improve in year two? And there's a lot of really kind of interesting things in here, and I won't go through the weeds of all of it. You can check it out at The Athletic. But basically a couple of the key points were, Cam Ward continued to improve as the year went on, which is consistent with his college film, his college journey of just constantly improving and getting better. He got better throughout the season last year. Some struggle. One of the things that, Baumgartner talks about in the struggle category is what we've talked about a lot of. Kind of feels like he's trying to throw a touchdown pass on every play, which sounds great, but that can get you into trouble and you can miss out on some plays. And there's all sorts of kind of different reasons in here of the struggles from Cam Ward, some things very specifically that he got better at the last year. And the bottom line is this. This is how he closes it out. Says, the Titans have a lot of work to do. If you watched Cam Ward's full season last year, you understand why they want Carnell Tate in the top five this year's draft. If the Titans can surround Ward with weapons, he's going to make everyone except me, talking about himself, Bumgarner, thanks to the 2025 pre-draft take, which was similar to ours of they should not take him as the number one overall pick, look really good. So, I read through this yesterday, and I would say it's a very, I don't know if optimistic is the right word, but he feels high on Cam Ward coming off the first year when he looked through the film, which is good to see. We've been talking the last few weeks about the inaccuracy. You worried about Cam Ward? Is it fair to be worried about Cam Ward yet? And we've talked about the steps he's going to have to take in year two to improve. But Baumgartner likes what he sees on film from Cam Ward after the first year.
Yeah. No, look, if you read this, you're going to come away, I think, excited. I mean, maybe if you're a what are you doing, then, maybe nothing will change your mind. But it's a really well-done, thorough film study. And some of the stuff is what you'd expect. Like, he improved in terms of just some of the, okay, here's the simple play, man. Just take this easy money here a little more often. And I think that's definitely part of why, second half numbers are better than his first half numbers, like, by quite a bit. But it's fascinating. Now, I'll say a couple things about Nick Baumgartner. He's great at his job. Love the guy. He also, I think at the same combine where I tried to give Kalen Kaler pocket mints, he talked me into his film study about why Anthony Richardson is going to be a great quarterback. I mean, we're all wrong. Yes. We're all wrong sometimes, okay? And someone in Nick's position is going to be wrong a ton. All of them, everybody. People in the NFL who get paid millions to figure these things out are wrong a lot. But, he does the work, and I can't sit here after reading through the whole thing and lie and say, I don't feel a tick better about Cam Ward after going through that. He doesn't address much of just the straight-up mechanical accuracy part, which to me is a big thing. Also, I guess I differ a little bit on his assessment of Cam as a great athlete. I don't see that, he says he's not a burner. I think he's a little bit less than not a burner, but that's just me. I don't know. Maybe I think he's good at evading. He's good at sensing rush.
Yes.
For sure. But other than that, I mean, there's a lot here that's really interesting, and it's an effective counter right now after all of camp to kind of all the discussion about Cam, at least.
Well, it is. We've talked about the pocket presence. You know, I do think there's an ability he's got to evade the rush that I like. I also think sometimes last year it got him in trouble, and Baumgartner points it out. He's like, you know, if he can stop scrambling backwards and horizontally, the sack total will probably come down.
Yeah.
And you can point to the offensive line. He did run himself into a lot of sacks last year. So, you know, we talked about that throughout the year. So that part of it's got to get better. But I think that's kind of a combination of he's a natural playmaker, so he's trying to extend plays as long as possible. And I do think, especially in the first part of the year last year, he was trying to hit that home run like all the time. He was just trying to make that huge play. And I do think he got better at kind of taking what was in front of him this year. Now, it's one of the many things about quarterback that make it a very difficult thing to evaluate, because I don't want that totally taken away from him. Like the big game kind of hunting part of his game, I like that to a certain degree. Like, I think there's a time and place where you got to do that. Like, you got to be unafraid to push the ball down the field and try to extend the play and make something big happen. I just think in the NFL, if you're trying to do that like every drive and every play, you're gonna put yourself into more trouble than maybe it's worth. So it's, you know, knowing how to pick your spots and developing some sort of a balance there is going to be important.
Yeah, whoever was talking, who brought up the Tom Brady thing last week? Talking about those guys when we were talking about Cam.
I can't remember. Maybe, but, I don't know.
I can't remember. Anyway, that it was a great point, and it probably isn't made enough about Brady. Like, I'll think back. Everybody thinks back to thinks about the Titans win over Brady. And
I think it was Corey. Now that I think
about
it.
Was it Corey?
Yep.
The time before that, the Titans went up there, having beaten Kansas City in the playoffs. And if you go back to that game, I swear that Tom Brady threw the ball downfield like three times. He just threw swing passes to Deion Lewis over and over and over again. The Titans were like, ooh, we got to sign that guy. But seriously, like it's like, oh, Brady, but it's just simple stuff here. Just, okay, got a little extra space here. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take four. I'll take six. And that is – so that's – and again, that's the type of thing that if that's the issue, okay, he'll figure that out, and he already is. There's evidence right here in this film study of him figuring that out and doing a better job of just being selective and picking those spots in certain situations. So I think there's a lot – you know, a lot here definitely to like. The Cam Dews are all about this. But, you know, the mechanical, the strike zone, whatever you want to call it, you know, that's still like that's a question to be answered, and maybe it's limiting. But if a lot of these things that we talk about get to where you hope they do, and especially the surrounding cast, then I think it's going to look a lot better.
Well, and you know, it gets into, again, as we discussed last week, something that I think is important, but is not a tangible thing, and that's the mental toughness. Baumgartner talks about, you know, being firmly against taking Ward at number one in the 2025 draft, not necessarily because he didn't think he was great, but because of the roster that the Titans had. And he says, quote, "What I underestimated was Ward's mental toughness. I knew he had talent, natural feel for the position that few share, but I thought the same about Bryce Young when he left Alabama and he collapsed, mostly due to poor coaching and a weak supporting cast." Now, it's interesting because Young is kind of risen back up
he's
to a certain degree and is hanging in there, and we'll see. But, like, you know, it's another observation of, like, you know, how mentally tough Cam Ward is. And that's important. Again, I've said that. Like, it's important. But I need some actual attributes of playing the position that are tangible to go along with that mental toughness.
Yeah.
And you need to start to see those this year.
Physical excellence to go with the mental toughness. But, yeah, I think – but that is – it's definitely something that everybody can see, and it is a good thing. You hope that Cam doesn't have, because like year two, even for Bryce Young, it was, you know, it was just like, you hope it's different than that.
Well, he got benched in year two.
Yeah. And again, that's, it's credit to him for hanging in there. And I mean, they got to the playoffs last year, and he did some pretty good things, and they have improved his, you know, the people around him for sure. That's been a big part of it. But yeah, you hope that year two for Cam is more like that year, right? That they've done enough here to help him out.
It is interesting. They're both 24, you know, same age.
Yeah. Very different.
Very different paths.
Yeah. You're talking about like number one recruit guy. He's going to play 3 years of college versus wing T, zero star guy. Which, again, I mean, that's the type of stuff that probably serves Cam well at this point, you know. But it's just a matter of there's a limit to what that can do for you.
You know, while we're on the subject of the Carolina Panthers, I think, you know, it's time that I stand up and recognize it's a big year for my guy, Xavier Leggett.
Yeah,
it's time to show something, you know. First year, rookie year, 49 catches, almost 500 yards, four touchdowns. Not bad for a rookie. You know, last year, 35 catches, 363, three touchdowns. Big year for my guy, Xavier Leggett.
Well, I mean, he's been minimized a little bit with some of the ads they've made, but yes,
he's got a breakthrough. You know,
the Low Country All Star needs to hang in there, could he not be a nice, addition to this receiver?
Sure. I mean, I would take him no matter the situation. I don't care if you've got 15 receivers on the roster. I'd take him.
Ride that horse from Charlotte to here.
I mean, there's a perhaps never been a player that, you know, I guess wasn't directly associated with the University of Tennessee that I've wanted to succeed more than Xavier Leggett.
I think that anyone who is familiar with him at all should feel the same way.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We will wrap up the show. Come to the next. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans, the Brady Tkachuk trade from Ottawa to Florida. An interesting week coming up for the Predators with the NHL draft later this week. We'll get your thoughts on all of it. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Compared to other quarterbacks, it's just not that much. You know, he didn't do this in high school. He was a small school quarterback. It took him, you know, some time. But the thing to remember also on top of that made him as special as he is he got better every year, every game, across the board, all the way through college. And the bet was that was absolutely going to continue, you know, when he got into the NFL. And it did. It's hard to see it because the team was so bad. But the fact that he played every snap, he was better at the end of the year than he was at the beginning. He was playing his best football when the year wrapped up. And he improved upon some of the things that you were looking at in terms of, okay, you know, how quick is he with his processing? You know, how much more consistent are his feet? Not perfect, but by the end of the year, you'd seen, you know, significant growth, enough that I think if they continue to surround him with talent, they're going to have a real player on their hands. But, you know, this is a process because Tennessee was bad, you know, offensively. That's why the numbers, if you really dig into them, don't sparkle for Cam. And I think a lot of people might overlook him right now, but he's a talent, and I don't think that people should overlook him at all.
That was Bumgarner last week with DVD discussing Cam Ward and the film study article that we just brought up.
You know, man, I've been a catch as Cam can. I mean, he's pushing me to be a Cam do. You guys don't even acknowledge my
stupid.
How long
are we going to let Rex Road do this? Is this becoming a thing? Should we cut him off?
This is where Allison Stanley says, Daddy, help Joe Rex Road, please.
Ian, the verdict. Are we a fan of the Cam War, of the Ward are you doings in the Cam do's?
I think so.
You like it? Thank you,
I like
Ian.
It okay.
Thanks,
like it
buddy.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't dislike it. I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, look at the crap
he could probably do better, but
how many years did he have to deal with so much stupid crap from Stilly? You know, he's a very
I think the phrase that Ian just threw out there is probably the tagline for our show. Well, we could probably do better.
Yeah, but
you know,
hashtag
kind of is what
dot,
it is.
Dot dot. Yeah. Yeah. So I think there might be some Cam do's spawning from Nick's analysis there. He makes some, he makes compelling points. I mean, it is, and this is where some people, seriously though, whatever you want to call yourself, if you don't like what you're doing, whatever. But if you're a hater, if you're just out on Cam, you're listening to that and you're saying, oh, good, more excuses, you know? And I think there's, like, it's fair to a point, but it's also, it is 1 year with a bad team. And there were some good signs to go with the bad signs. And just, it all, it's nice to have this because it really has been kind of pessimistic a little bit, leaning toward him. And it's just really fascinating. I mean, I really think what people should be is catches Cam cans, is just totally open-minded. We need to be open-minded. I could see this going wildly in either direction or ending up somewhere in between.
I got to tell you, is it bad as we sit here today on June the 22nd? I am very much looking forward to our show on September the 14th, which will be the day after the season opener for the Titans. Because there's just a whole laundry list of things that are going to make it ripe for, like, takes. Like, first off, there's the whole, hey, they're playing the New York Jets and they suck type thing. And then there's the Sala going up against his former team. But it's also Ward. Like, if Ward comes out and plays terribly in that first game, boy, we're going to have some takes on this show that day, right? Like, people are going to be like, oh, so they just lost to the Jets and your number one overall pick was terrible in game one. Like, the September 14th program has a chance to be a doozy on this trail.
And well, it does. It does. And I hate to, like, you know, put everything on a game like that. It's not everything, but that is a really important game.
Yeah. For a lot of reasons.
For him, for Sala, et cetera, et cetera. Also, man, now that you mention it, what a September 14th?
That's a long way
Mid-September? Because I like Labor Day is what, like September 7th, right? Is that, or yeah. September, whatever.
It's 7th,
it's like the worst possible, latest possible. Does camp like not start till August then?
It is late July. It is later than usual.
It's always late July.
I think it's even maybe a week later
than normal.
Like 29th?
I think that's what it is already. I really do. Like most years.
Well, that's what we need. We need more camp. We need more training camp.
Yeah, please, man. God.
Preseason? Taking away one of those games from us. So we got to get a little bit more practice time in.
I mean, we're almost 3 months away from this day still.
Yeah.
Alexi Lalas, help us. Calgon, take us away. Nick Frazier's texting me clips of Alexi Lalas. That word, can we say that word?
I don't think so.
That starts with a W?
Apparently, you cannot say it in British TV.
Well, right. Apparently, on British TV, it's like a
that's
huge,
a big
like,
no,
whoa.
FCC violation.
Yeah. That almost sounds like, did you see the Linda Cohn thing?
No, I did
not. She tried to do a catchphrase. You know, Rich Eisen is this was SportsCenter?
Yeah.
She tried out a catchphrase about someone who's a really good hitter. He's a master batter. And immediately ESPN called her and said, do not ever say that on the air again. Ever. Okay, sorry. That's a little bit like what Lalas apparently said, but he said farting too?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I don't think that part actually happened.
Oh, okay. He just said
the the other one. Yeah.
I mean, he seriously the other day was like, you know, they were like all this analysis, and he was just like kind of paraphrasing, like, Australia stinks. We own them. Yeah. And it was like, thank you, Alexi, and we'll head to break now. But I'm kind of fascinated. Like, I'm kind of in on it. This is helping distract me from the fact that we have almost 3 months until the NFL starts.
I'll find out again when the United States is playing on Thursday.
So I'm telling you, Katie is actually even like, what game's on? I'm like, okay, let's put the sports on the television.
I can't do it.
Yeah. It's you know, it's not bad. Like, first of all, there have been some really good games, but also even just sort of as a background thing, you know, a little soccer on. No?
There's golf.
You're not there. That's true. Your background thing is golf. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
my background nowadays is like, you know, what's Allison watching? Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Great.
Yeah, it's true.
Put that on.
Yeah, Francis the Fish.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing. Probably not. But someone compared this to a golf commentator. Can you
Oh, Brandel Chamblee?
That with us?
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of a blowhard, you know?
So yeah.
Says a bunch of weird stuff a lot.
So okay.
Like, yeah, maybe pretty similar.
Okay.
Know?
Yeah, because you were like, oh, I get it now. So what's the name? Brandel Chamblee.
Yeah, I think earlier this year he's like, yeah, Scotty kind of sucks now. It's like, oh, really? Does he? Okay.
That was the whole analysis?
Thanks.
There's some effectiveness
there. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brandel.
That's going to do it for us today on the program. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their Monday. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.